Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot, Julius.
He scores!
He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down, and the game is tied.
Here is Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Hello, hello out there everywhere, the basketball world. You're finally getting the stage in this ever so crazy sports calendar. We're here for it here at WFUV Sports. Welcome into Pick and Pod. I'm Chris Carino. Getting things started off here, I'm around some of my favorite peers, Zach Cordova, in sporting his Denver Nugget NBA champion shirt, God. Which 2 years removed still doesn't necessarily feel real. We still haven't talked off air about Russell Wilson. That's a whole other story. And to my right, in a pair, I have... I would say two of my dad doesn't like when I call things stupid. Two of the more interesting gentlemen in my life, Owen Kelsey and Chaz McAdams. The reason for their blonde hair.
He looks so dumb.
The reason for their blonde hair. I'll.
Mine's more orange.
I'll give my third person, from afar point of view on this. We'll see. We can get more detail and elaboration from you guys. But opening night, Knicks Celtics. Obviously, Owen the Knicks fan, Chaz the Celtic fan. They made a little bet. Loser bleaches the hair, and then seemingly Chaz got FOMO and bleached it as well.
Yeah, and now we have
two guys with bleached hair. Chaz, yeah, the floor is yours.
Can I just walk through my thought process? So my thought, because I had already had a buzz cut at this point, so my thought the stakes were way lower for me, just less hair to bleach. And then, like, as I saw Owen bleaching his hair, I was like, I might as well. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean.
There was extra bleach laying around.
I have no idea what you mean.
I was like, I might as well, because if you're going to go blonde, you got to do it in college.
Why is his color so much worse?
Because I have, like, way more hair, and it's
right.
Dark.
So
I think it's dark.
It looks insane.
So
I haven't looked at you enough. It's insane.
So we did it. We did it the night of the game because we were supposed to do it on stream. So we did it the night. Also,
it's also
follow the Chazcast. Follow the Chazcast live on
the
stage.
We are doing it to each other.
Yeah,
I know.
So we do it that night, and we do it with this Splat, which is like a hair dye company, but they have this hair bleach, and it came out so, like, we both have black hair, and we did Owen's first, obviously, because he has more hair. He turned like
full syndrome,
like ginger, like he was the seventh Weasley brother, like full.
Yeah,
and then we did it to me, and my hair barely changed.
And it looks kind of good.
It barely changed.
No,
so
it's not kind of good.
The first time.
It was still black.
But then what'd you do?
And then so I was like, Owen, like, this isn't bleach, bro. Like, we got to, like, do something about this. So then we ordered more from this thing that my friend recommended, after he bleached his hair. And
voluntarily.
That shocked both
the next,
of our
the next morning, it was... It was different.
It was a big change.
What do you mean?
The next morning, we bought more bleach.
We bought more bleach, and we thought it was going to be, like similar, and it was just, like, night and day. Like, you barely could notice. It made the first bleaching we did, like, look like nothing.
So we both did two rounds.
We both did two rounds.
Chaz is a bit removed from this because he's a Boston guy. Like, your whole life, you will have the memory of going to college in the Bronx in 2024, and the Yankees played the Dodgers in the World Series, and you will have blonde hair.
All your pictures, if the Yankees win the World Series, you're going to
have
blonde
hair. You're going to have blonde
hair.
That
is going to be awesome.
I guess.
I think that'll be pretty awesome.
You didn't make it out to the Liberty Parade today in your blonde hair?
I could not miss class.
I had a mental as well.
Yeah, that's.
I felt like a fake fan not being able to. Like, I love the, like, light it up. I love the Liberty beat reported for them.
That's the plus and minus of the ticker tape parade, is that you need people in the office in order for it to function, but also that means that you're going to have it in the middle of a work day. And
people are
going to struggle. Sure. But yeah, let's get to some of the basketball that caused this. I would call it a mess.
Yeah.
But first, Zach Cordova, how are you today? You can get understated here with all the blindness.
They get lost.
Oh, no, man. It's okay. Listen, there's a lot to be distracted by here in the studio. I mean, Owen Kelty has the Ice Spice orange hair we were talking about.
Yeah,
it is.
Low key.
Ice Spice.
That's why it looks bad. Like, that's the...
We should go as Ice Spice and M&M for Halloween.
I mean, yes. No, I mean, for how, like, Central C have blonde hair.
Yeah,
that's your life.
They were a couple for, or something. No, I don't know.
Not so Slim Shady over here.
Not so Slim Shady. Go on.
But no, man, I'm good. The Nuggets play basketball today. I can't be mad at that going on. The Broncos have a winning record 7 weeks into the season. Come on, man. This is the first time since 2016 that this has happened. I can't not be happy about this. I can't not be in a good mood.
That's a terrible football
team. It's a hilarious amount of optimism.
Hey.
I'm going to see your Nuggets next Tuesday, second net home game of the year. The Nuggets are in town.
Two I will be big, there, too.
You'll be there as well?
Yeah.
Two big home games for the Nets to start the season, Bucks and Denver. We have to get Chaz McAdams out of here a little bit early, so let's get into your Celtics right away. I feel like, obviously, the ring ceremony is the biggest story, but Jason Tatum seemed to be really putting himself on the map in that first game.
I mean, yeah, I think it was honestly – it was Tatum – I think it is – I think Tatum – you can't replicate that kind of performance. 8-for-11 from three in 30 minutes, 37 points in 30 minutes with 10 dimes. Like, holy. Tatum only grabbed
on
four.
On wing stop.
Yeah, like, it was a lot.
On wing, that's impressive.
Yeah.
On
so,
wing stop.
So, my thing Game is, one. Like, my thing is, like, I think it was the Bulgin Bobby. So, I think it was, honestly, and I think... It's so funny because it's a narrative I didn't hear anything about before until after the game. It was like, the Knicks haven't played together at all. This is their first game together, which is, like, valid. But, like, why weren't we saying?
Yeah, we didn't hear
like,
that.
We didn't lower our expectations. Like, we didn't lower our expectations.
I clearly didn't lower
any. Yeah, clearly.
I pushed the expectations
so,
higher.
So, I think the Celtics will – they're not going to set the threes record this night every night. But their Missoula ball, their brand of basketball is – I think every night is going to look somewhat like that. They're not going to make 29 threes at a 70% clip every night, but there is a sense of they're getting the right shots. They got whatever they wanted versus that Knicks team. And I think that defensively, honestly, the Celtics like could have shown a little bit more scheme-wise. I think Brunson got whatever he wanted. I think McHale, once he figured out his jump shot, got whatever he wanted. There are still some improvements to be made, but this is the Celtics team we were promised.
Right.
This is the Celtics team that we're playing without Kristaps Porzingis, so imagine the spacing when he comes back, and we're not relying on 30 minutes a game from a 9,000-year-old Horford. Al Horford, sorry.
I just think it's. I think if you just look at it in broad strokes, a team not playing their best possible game they could have played that goes out and beats the team that's been called your biggest opposition all season long.
To say that that's not the best game the Celtics could have played. 29 threes.
Yeah, but
no,
it was
no,
ridiculous.
But they left some stuff to
okay,
be desired.
Okay, but if you're hitting
29
threes, like it doesn't get much.
But you
better
let
than that.
The like the Knicks let the Celtics hit 29. Why is Jericho Sims going under screens on
Why
Jason
is Jericho
Tatum?
Sims in the game? That's just completely
because you traded away all your big man depth.
No, that's not true though. We didn't trade any big man away.
Oh, and I remember
Isaiah Hartenstein left, and Mitchell Robinson's ankle is pulled pork.
Oh, and I remember distinct conversations we had where I said. Miles McBride being the best bench piece on a team is probably not a team that's going to win the
finals. I still don't think
the
bench
also
is
played great.
He's the only one who played great.
Yeah,
he had 22.
Brunson played great too.
I agree with you that they're
great.
They're a G League team if he doesn't. So I don't.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The bench depth is not as questionable as the center depth.
Can we
the
also
center
talk
depth
about?
Is not,
can we? Can
you
we
don't
talk,
have a center depth.
Can
you
we talk about
center.
OG?
No.
Can we talk about OG and OB?
Yeah, sure.
Stinker.
Well, yeah. Just the wings in general. You traded 5 first-round picks for a guy
Mikal
that looks unusable in a first half.
I think Mikal figured it out in the second half.
He switched his shooting form mid-game.
He still
That's a
had
problem.
A decent game. He still shot 53%.
It will be the most criticized 7-for-13 game
of
all time.
Yeah, and rightfully so, though.
Well, because it was, like, the first half, it was, like...
Atrocious.
Like, you should have seen Owen on the screen. The first half, he was, like... I think he said 5 first-round picks 20 different times in the first half. Like, out of context, like he was just... Five first round picks. And it's like, it looked like that. But then in the second half, like, I'll be objective a little bit. And I beat report for the Knicks. I think this Knicks team is structured enough to where they can get the 2 seed in the East, especially when Joel Embiid doesn't want to play back to backs and is getting his team investigated. And Paul, we want to talk about pulled pork. Let's talk about pulled pork P. Paul George.
Let me see where I finish your sentence. The gap between 1 and 2 is so
right,
far.
Yeah, of course.
You can
yeah.
say
yeah.
with the
but,
gap between the Celtics and. The
anyway,
rest of the
nah,
league.
The West, OKC's gap. There can't be a far gap between OKC and Celtics.
There is.
I don't think so.
The Knicks are a team that, when fully healthy, I think can be constructed really well. I think they do have to take time to fit together, and I think it took the belt to behind movement that the Celtics put on them on October 22nd, the year of our Lord 2024, to see that putting in a whole new, because it literally went from the power of friendship. I think I've quoted you on that. We're motivated on the power of friendship to we're constructed to be great.
Right.
And so when not only your player profile shift, but your whole core shifts, like no longer vibes, it's like we have to go out there and win. You know what I mean? Like they will no longer have fun in losses. And I'm not saying that Jalen Brunson and the Villanova Knicks enjoyed losing, but when you're playing with your boys, it's way easier to eat losses than when you're playing with some random guy from like Saskatchewan, New Jersey, or wherever Karl Anthony Towns is from, and OG Anunoby.
Went to school in Metuchen. So
yeah,
it's like whatever.
It's like weird name in New Jersey. The least surprising thing ever.
This is gonna sound subjective from my point of view. I think this Knicks team is soft from watching that game one. I think when you look at the exports,
they looked in one game.
But just listen to me. Just follow me here. When you look at the imports and exports over that offseason, you lose Hartenstein, Randall, DiVincenzo, and you bring in Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. If you're telling me you don't lose a toughness or an edge there, you're lying to me.
But I think so.
And you see how DiVincenzo has responded since the trade. It's proven to his character.
Wait. The 7:30 game ends. And you're like, wow, that Timberwolves trade was terrible. Cat had 12 points. Maybe
right.
On less than 50% shooting
and
from
then
the
you
field.
Watch the next game.
And then you watch the next game and you're like, it was an even trade. Because sure. Julius, and I think this is a great point made by Reggie Miller on the broadcast, rare moment.
Super rare.
Shout out Reggie.
Chris Finch will not give Julius as long of a leash as Tom Thibodeau did because he didn't see him develop.
Yeah.
Like Chris Finch is expecting peak Julius. While Tom Thibodeau's been in the trenches with like taking defensive possessions off.
He also has guys like Gobert. Like, he knows how it goes.
But I know, but what I'm saying is I think that there is a bigger adjustment as a whole to be made by both the Timberwolves and the Knicks than any respective fan base has thought, including myself.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, and like the understatedness of it is true.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we just got
you're literally the Human Torch.
We just got piped in a picture of Owen Kelty from the cameras. It's TikTok
right.
Worthy.
You're like we talked about syndrome. You're like when Jack sets his hair on fire. You're glowing in a bad way.
In a horrible way.
You're the glow stick at the bottom of the bag that comes pre-crack.
That was
bro.
A fantastic.
You look terrible.
That was a fantastic analogy.
Wow.
Incredible.
Anything else left, Chaz? On
Celtics, I'm just really excited. I want to open with a statement about the Nets, and then I'm gonna have to head out.
I appreciate your caring.
I gave you flack for, and I know again, like sports media, the kings of overreaction, the kings and queens of overreacting. I know it's one game, scoring 36 points while only shooting one free throw out of Cam Thomas, that is absurd.
That's crazy.
And it took a historic performance from Trae Young and Onyeka Okongwu to beat the Nets.
Yeah.
So
also, Cam was over 50% from the field.
Yeah, and an efficient also. 36 points.
14
it,
for 27.
It was ridiculous. Like,
but no,
it was,
but Cam was the problem. He was affecting
okay,
Mikal's
okay. You
game.
Don't you don't like the chip on your shoulder doesn't have to be the
I mean,
Grand
like,
Canyon.
What's the Mikal Bridges hate? Is wild. He netted.
I am the chip.
Five first round.
I am the Senate. Do it. But I think this Nets team is like this is a football term. They're frisky. You know what
they're
I mean?
Really
like
frisky.
Like they are like
frisking their way to 10 wins.
No. Like no. They're gonna get slated, bro. I'm telling you, Owen. They're gonna get slated at a 10 and they could get slated at a 10 seed in the play-in and ruin some 7 seeds playoff hope. I genuinely believe that.
Which would be just bad for the Nets. Like, it's honestly not great.
Exactly, because they're
going to need to sell
the
deadline.
Capture the flag.
It's honestly good. They're going to need to sell the deadline and with some of these pieces.
Do you think if Cam puts on a historic performance, you sell him for picks at the deadline?
I don't think people...
And you go full rebuild?
No, because I think Cam this is the situation Cam's
like
at
he can't
best.
Not be the
on
guy.
A horrible
like,
team I, where yeah. he can just shoot.
So he cannot be the guy, but he's not a guy enough to get you to get you to a chip.
No, but he's
so
perfect for what we're doing right now.
He's like Jordan Poole and the Wizards.
Just leave him. No.
No.
But yeah, a little bit better than that.
No.
He's better, but same situation. Like Jordan
it's what Jordan Poole was supposed to be.
I agree with that. That's a good point.
Yeah. Also, he doesn't have Kyle Kuzma.
Jordan Poole's not going 7 for 13 from 3.
Also, like, Kyle Kuzma shot more shots than Jordan Poole in the I know I'm pulling up Wizards efficiency stats, which is like, hey, maybe Chaz, you need a girlfriend. But it's like, there is, like, Jordan Poole shot less shots than Kyle Kuzma last year, and like everyone's like, well, he's like the star-centric problem. It's like, he's not LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
Like, he has guys around him that also can shoot the rock poorly as Jordan Poole does.
And Cam Thomas had defensive effort last night as well.
Three
steals? He was moving the ball. He had only had a -8, plus-minus 25 less than Mikal Bridges.
He was guarding Bogdan, right?
Yes.
And Bogdan didn't have like the game of his career. Like
Mikal Bridges -33 on the plus minus. Just putting that out there.
I mean, they hate his
just suck when he's out there. Basically,
it's been one game.
So
they're just
one
bad
game
with
like
there.
A whole new start, whole new rotation.
It's an all time hate watch year. It's
yeah, just, of course for you, of course. But I respect the Knicks and I respect their ability. I respect the Knicks ceiling, but I think we need to acknowledge their floor. Is what my final statement will be. Respect their ceiling, but acknowledge that like. For when you're a combo Mets, Jets, Knicks fans, you know all about the floor.
Right.
You're like, you're
that's the worst fandom you can have.
Yeah, of course. So I think that the Knicks will be fine, but there are definitely some things that Tom Thibodeau needs to go to the whiteboard and assess.
While we finish, you know, this talk, Owen, you think that this Knicks team isn't a Brunson injury away from being a lottery team?
No.
Why so quick?
Because Cat can take over.
Cat can take over.
The
Timberwolves were never in the lottery when Cat was the guy there.
That is not true at all.
Recently,
they went to one playoff and played Harden's Rockets, but
missing
then,
the playoffs and lottery.
I think he's been
things.
To like 3 years of playoffs, like total.
This Knicks team, if they lose Brunson for the year.
I'm just saying, like, he is. You're so dependent
still
on that
a playing
guy.
Team.
Your success is so dependent on that guy.
But he's
so
good. What team isn't?
Like,
say the Timberwolves lose Anthony Edwards.
You can never have an injured top three player on your team and beat another contender, let alone by 30.
Yeah.
Let alone when the other team is fully healthy.
I mean,
like,
the Celtics are also the best team in the NBA by far.
What
are you supposed
without.
To be then? What, are you in mediocrity? Like
the
what,
second then, or third best team in the league.
The best team in the league.
Second, third, fourth.
You'd be in playing territory. In
oh,
the
without
West.
Without Brunson,
in the
oh,
West, you'd be
wow,
in playing
no,
territory.
Wrong.
No,
yeah,
no.
Dude, the Knicks are good. Like the Knicks are good.
It's
playing
going to
the
take
West that whole year and being in that standing. I think they'd be like
it's
around
going,
six.
I think after 20 games,
seven,
you
six.
Will be fully. This it's going to take 20 games for this team to figure it out.
I've been saying this for 3 weeks. I've never changed. You're the one who's like, you know,
I'm not.
I think expectations were high because again, you respect their ceiling, but you have to see where their floor is. Like. They have to start from ground zero because it is a whole new team. It's a whole new team.
I'm just saying,
it's a whole new culture.
I'm just saying I thought the whole roster and the moves were overrated a month ago. I think they're overrated right now.
Okay.
I think fair. My opinion has not – literally, it just got validation.
My opinion hasn't
game.
Changed either.
Also,
one last thing
I have to say before I go, because this is my heart out now. What a stinker from Jimmy Butler, too. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
I saw
love seeing Heat fans cry.
Some player on opening night had more points than Jimmy Butler, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was somebody.
Benjamin Simmons.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons had a good game.
Dude,
okay?
Ben Simmons was diming.
He had 6, 8, and 5. Your players can't do that.
How much money does he make?
A lot.
Okay.
But that doesn't
okay,
matter.
Ladies. With that, I leave.
Chaz
don't
McAdams.
Tear each other's throats out. Thank
Chaz
you,
McAdams.
Guys. Love you.
Chaz McAdams. M&M's shady attire, golden crown,
whatever you want to call it.
Gonna get dismissed. I have a soft to hard out in a little bit as well, so I'm gonna run through a little more Nets just so I get it on the show, and then
we can
get to the rest of the NBA. First, well, actually, now that I'm looking at the slate, I feel inconsiderate because there's a massive game on tonight, and I feel like we should get it over to you, Zach.
Listen, Nuggets, we can get into
Thunder,
the Nets if you want. It's
but
okay.
I want to talk a little Nuggets Thunder because I want to talk about this Thunder team a little
gotcha.
Bit, and we could use it as a natural segue because you're here, and we don't get Denver love very often.
Oh, no, not much. Not much over here on the East Coast.
Denver is having a little trouble, I think, salary cap-wise, roster-wise. I think it's a little bit of a crapshoot this last year or two.
Yeah,
I think
you can call it that.
The Thunder structurally or maybe what the Nuggets want to be right now. Where's optimism right now with the Nuggets? And then how much weight would you hold in a game like tonight, especially after the conversation we just had with the Celtic-Knicks game?
wait on a game tonight is a tough one. I think that I don't want to compare it to the Knicks, but similar to the Knicks, you have new pieces. You lose KCP, you gain Russell Westbrook. Christian Brown is moving into the starting lineup for the first time in his career, his third year now in the league. Denver's expecting, and with all the moves they made this week, re-signing basically their big four. Is they re-sign Gordon to an extension. Jokic is still on contract. Murray gets his extension. Of course, we know the infamous MPJ max contract as well is still locked down. Denver now has their four guys locked down, I believe, through 2028, 2029, something like that. The vibe is not, we don't think that this starting lineup can get the job done. It's, can these younger guys, especially on the bench, step up? Julian Strother led the entire NBA in preseason points. As much as it's preseason, you wanted to say, hey, it's preseason. He had a good preseason. He also had a really good summer league. I believe he also led the summer league in points. Julian Strother is a name to look out for on that Denver bench coming out of Gonzaga's second year. Peyton Watson also now his third year. Another guy that the Denver is looking for to make a jump. And, I mean, I think the biggest thing is Russell Westbrook joining that bench unit. And I think that the
Jokic
thing
likes him.
Jokic
likes him.
Oh, and Jokic,
that's why
he's
there.
You got the two triple-double guys on one team. That's almost historic.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that this Nuggets bench really, really lacked last year and was really missing without Bruce Brown was that spark off the bench. You kind of need a crazy guy to come in off the bench and go put in some ridiculous effort to get the rest of the team fired up. And I think that coming into this year, there's some optimism because of, hey, we may have that spark on the bench now. If we get into an end-of-game situation and we need some hustle, Jamal Murray sometimes could be a little lackluster. He seems to get tired sometimes at the end of game. We have a guy in Russell Westbrook who will risk his life, body, everything to get a win. And I think that having that hustle and that experience on the floor, it brings a lot to the floor.
The top of the horse, there's some question marks as well. I feel like Jokic and Jamal, you don't really know what you're going to get this year.
And that's the question is Jamal, too.
He was not good in the summer.
It was a bad playoff run. He was very unhealthy going into the playoffs. The calf was bothering him a lot. And then we go into the summer league, maybe a month removed from that injury. Just puts up stinkers back to back to back and playing for Canada. And now the question is, well, Murray just got a big extension.
Yeah,
can he actually
live
Jamal up to
Murray
it?
Almost $60 million player?
I believe so.
No, I'm looking at the, like, is he really worth
that?
I mean, he
was the second best player on a championship team. Like, just think about that.
And but, like, you're paying for the future.
What do you mean now? It wasn't the past. It was a year and a half ago. What are you talking about?
I agree, you think he's regressed?
You think he's digressed?
But it's the question has never been whether he's regressed. It's, what you want to call him? He's a big lights merchant. I don't know. The guy.
Laker merchant.
The Laker merchant. The question has never been, can Jamal Murray do it? It's, can he do it consistently? Can he do it for a season? There's a reason he hasn't gotten an all-star bid yet, is because he's not the most consistent guy in the season. He has injury problems. He'll go in and out. He'll go out there, and they'll play against the Pistons team. He'll score 8 points. That hair is ridiculous. He'll go out there, and he'll score 8 points, and then the next game they'll play against the Lakers and he'll score 40. It's not a question of whether he can do it or whether he has it in him. It's, can he continue to do it over a long span? Can he do it for a full season to really be worth that contract? But at the end of the day, it's regular season. What Jamal Murray is being paid that money for is to show up in the postseason and be who we know him to be in the playoffs as, I mean, whatever you want to call it, playoff Murray. I hate the calling a player playoff whatever.
Right.
But I think the whole playoff Murray thing is a real thing, and if you get him to step up in the playoffs, he's worth the money.
Yeah, a lot to be told in the top of that Western Conference tonight in that matchup, but yeah, you kind of have to be careful with how much weight we have in it. A few other great matchups tonight, San Antonio-Dallas, Battle of Texas. We'll get to see Wembanyama and Chris Paul matchup against the other Texas duo, Kyrie and Luka Doncic. You guys can get to the rest of the slate tonight along with Minnesota-Sacramento in a little bit. But with my last couple minutes here, I want to talk a little more Nets.
Mm-hmm.
It's painful.
The Brooklyn Nets, they lose last night to the Atlanta Hawks with bearded Trae Young. I'm not a fan
not
at all.
I'm not either, man.
Trae Young also is going – he's not finishing out the season with the Hawks.
No. He'll be a Laker in 3 months. But – the Hawks get the win 120-116. Trae Young has 37 for 16 from the field. Cam Thomas in a losing effort, 36-14 for 27 from the field. Only one free throw, as Chaz mentioned. This is a net game that net fans probably ideally would like to see a loss where they're not necessarily hurting their capture the flag, so to speak, chances. But then also on the back end of that, getting some really productive performances, getting a Cam Thomas scoring performance that you could be really optimistic about, a couple quarters of Ben Simmons you could be optimistic about, a few quarters of Ben Simmons you could be cynical about as well. And just good ball handling with Dennis Schroeder, really steady play from Jalen Wilson. There's a lot of decent stuff here in this net game and just in this net team in general. And honestly, I'm feeling in a really positive space with the Nets right now.
Yeah. I think. Sorry.
No, you go. You go.
I was itching to talk about the Nets.
No, man. I'm just saying, I think that this is a good look to start the season, whether it's a loss or not. The team was competitive. And I think that coming into the season, losing Mikal Bridges, looking at the roster as it's constructed, with Ben Simmons there, always the question surrounding him and how much money he's being paid. I don't think this is a bad effort from them. And like Chaz said, I like that he mentioned this team could be like a little frisky. They could be go in there and potentially be better than people thought they were. They could be every team's trap team on the schedule, where they go into Brooklyn and say, hey, we can maybe take a night off. But then Cam Thomas comes out and drops 40 on your head, and then what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, just the Nets and – I mean, them being a playing team would be the worst possible scenario. I mean, you look at this roster – is there a single player on this roster that you look at, how many years do you think it's going to take you to contend? 3? 4?
Yeah.
Then no one from this roster will be there.
That's not true.
Who?
Claxton signed like 2 months ago.
But like you think he won't be traded by then, or he won't be.
I mean, he's like a top 5 to top 10 center in the NBA, so I don't think so.
You say top 5?
Top 10.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
He had to
correct
it.
Better than Embiid. No, okay.
That was a bit of a reach there, but
listen, man, he's on the floor. Embiid's not.
And
that's the question.
It's true, but honestly, Owen, that's a question I asked myself a couple days ago when thinking about the long-term effects of this rebuild. Who will be around? Who are long-term pieces? In a similar conversation we were just having, I think Cam Thomas will be around. I don't think Cam Thomas is a piece they move necessarily.
How many years is he under Cam Thomas under for?
He's going to be restricted this summer, but then if they sign him, it'll be a while.
Yeah.
And then a guy like Noah Clowney is a guy you want to keep around. Jalen Wilson has shown to be solid enough to where he could be around on a good team, a contending team. The Knicks would love Jalen Wilson off the bench. A few other guys, as well as Zaire Williams, I think could stick around. I mean, he might end up just getting lost in the shuffle, but showed really productive things last night. I do think some more prominent older wing pieces like Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith, they'll probably go by the wayside. Side probably will go to assets, but I do think that there is some players in this team that could be really productive for this net roster, but it's literally day one of this Sean Marks
new era.
I would call it world building scenario. I don't
third
know, yeah.
Third new era of Sean Marks.
His dynasty mode is this is the first year of his dynasty mode. Yes,
even though it's been going on for how long?
No, it hasn't. Nah, this is the start.
Oh, it's
we got
start.
It was happening, and we were in perfect position. All systems were a go. The rocket was pointed up at the sky, and then two top 10 players in the NBA just decided to play for us, and then everything kind of got...
Oh, bam, three, kind of. Harden.
That was. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about that offseason. And then that was three or four years of side quest, and now we're kind of back where we started, in a better spot than we were before due to us using the assets from Kevin Durant and Mikal Bridges. Thank you, by the way, for that, Owen. I appreciate it.
I mean, I think
if you could
the Knicks will also be...
If you could flick your... If you can go like this and make the trade not happen right now, you would do it, and I know you would.
Not the Bridges trade, yes. The cat trade.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
I
wow.
would. If you were to make me choose between the two trades, I had to undo one of them.
But you would. If they were like Timberwolves... Take back Randall.
Right, if I got Dante back, yeah.
Really?
I would.
You're that high on Dante.
I was just never really a fan of the cat trade in general. I thought the rest of our assets, like, it was Randall, Dante.
But you're cool with the Mikal.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense to me.
I think long term that is going to. I like him better as a player than Cat. I'm not high. I've never been high on Cat.
I'm not either.
I've never been a big fan of him. I think he's soft.
He's all first team dumb foul.
Yeah, and we have a lot of those on this team. Yeah. I think if anything, going back to that trade, I still make the Mikal trade, but using the rest of the assets would not have gone towards Cat. I would have held them out. I mean, Giannis is going to request a trade this summer.
You understand you could have gotten Mikal Bridges for like three less first round picks.
Not probably. From the Nets.
But just a player of his caliber. No?
Not in the – I mean, think about it. Gobert got, what, 6?
I know, but just think about, like, Mikal Bridges went for 5 first-round picks. How many first-round picks with that logic would Derek White go for, 12? Like, you know what I mean?
I think he'd go for the same thing.
He's double
the
value.
30.
But he's double the value of Miguel.
Do you think Derek White's double the value
of
both of you?
Double.
I guess we'll see by the end of the season.
Derek White, you could argue in an analytical perspective, was the best player on a championship team.
Oh, I love that argument.
You could analytically.
I hate Jason Tatum.
No, I know, and I'm a Brown guy, so you know it's hard to say that. But if you're talking value, who's the most valuable player, you could literally say he was the most valuable player on a championship team. Mikel will never be that.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair statement. But, I mean, I still agree with trading for Mikel Bridges. I mean, those picks, like how many, I mean, what is it, three unprotected? And it's like pick swaps.
Yeah, pick swaps. Things of that
nature.
Some,
it's like the Pistons picks in there somewhere. Or no, the Pistons have been sent somewhere else. I mean, we still have, we're not out of, like, we still have assets remaining.
Ooh.
They might not be our own picks.
Ooh.
There's some first floating around there. Some
are
seconds.
They?
I think there's
you're
one.
Just, I think you're just assuming.
No, right? I think we have a Wizards first, which, like, we'll never convey, and someone else's. It was like, that's like the rest. That's the rest of the assets.
The roster, what are you going to trade Josh Hart? You know what I mean?
No, this is the roster.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Also,
how do we feel about that?
It's going to take some time. I don't think Josh Hart should start. I think you move Deuce to the starting lineup.
Whoa. Why? Whoa, why?
I think Josh Hart does not fit in the starting lineup. His, like, role is just, he doesn't have a role in the starting lineup.
Be gritty. That's his role.
He can do that off the bench and lead the bench group.
What role can you not do on the, not do
yeah,
on
but
the...
he can lead a bench group, I think, better than Deuce McBride can lead the bench group.
I disagree. Did you watch the first game?
I did watch the first game.
Deuce had 22 at the second unit.
Yeah, but, well, Deuce was playing, like, with everyone. That's what he's going to do. But also losing Precious Achiuwa as much as, like, everyone, like, doesn't think he's that good also really matters.
He's hurt?
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
Out for 2 to 4 weeks. Like, that, him off the bench. Like,
when did he hurt himself? What time? When
last
was that?
Preseason game.
I didn't, okay.
Yeah, went for a dunk, pulled his hand.
Because I knew he wasn't out there, but I honestly thought that was strategical.
No,
they have nobody.
He's so important to this rotation because when Cat comes out, Jericho Sims isn't coming in, and Precious can guard 1 through 5, not super well, but he can guard all of them.
But Porzingis was hurt, so I'm sure it went well. Oh, it did not go well.
It looked like the baby from Incredibles.
I was thinking about this initially, and I have like a minute here before I have to go. I thought of this immediately when I saw Chaz do it. Would you have blonded your hair if the Knicks would have won? There's no way.
No chance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He wanted to do it the whole time. Like, he wanted the Celtics to win.
He's okay making the bet.
He was almost hoping they lost.
I don't know if he was hoping, but he wanted to do it. I did not want to do it. Like, if the Knicks won that game, I would still have normal hair. I'd be happy. Everything would be awesome.
Is it actually a point of stress for you, the blonde hair? Has it actually caused distress?
No, not really. I mean, like, when I think about, like, having to go work in, like, a professional setting, kind of, like, when I'm beat reporting the Knicks game tomorrow, like,
right.
My hair is orange, like,
right.
Sure, not the right. best look, but, like, in my day-to-day life, like, I don't care.
Does it smell?
No. It's clean.
And like, when you look in the mirror, you're not just like...
Oh, no. Every time I open my phone and I see myself, I'll be like, oh.
Whoa.
It's like a little bit... It's a little shell-shocked.
The,
like,
first morning you woke up and went into the bathroom to use the bathroom and you saw,
like,
the mirror, you're probably just...
No, it's every time. Every time I walk into the bathroom, I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh,
it's
wow.
insane that Chaz did it too. You think that's insane.
I think it's insane. He was like doing my hair. He's like, all right, do me now. And I was like, I don't think we should do this. And he's like, yeah. Do it.
The hair seems to have that effect on people. Listen, you walked into my place of work the other day, and even my coworkers were, whoa.
Yeah,
they don't even know you.
The first thing I'm hearing every time I walk into a room is, oh, my God, what did you do to your hair? And that is not the best thing
that you want to hear.
No, not at all.
Well, listen, bro, you got the orange going for the Knicks. Maybe they could turn it around. Maybe the hair will grow back, and as the hair grows back, the Knicks could also rebuild, I guess, if you could say. Just rebuild this season, bring it back, and hopefully live up to the hype.
I'm hoping, you know, the orange hair is, like, representing, you know, I could just be like, oh, I love the Knicks so much. But going back to it, me and Chaz thought of it, we should have done, if the Knicks had lost, which they did, I should have done green, and if the Knicks had won, he would have done orange.
Man, but how have you been felt walking around with green hair?
I mean, would it be much worse than this?
I feel like it would.
Yeah, I mean, just like, it would be pretty bad too. But before we wrap up, I want to look at tomorrow's second game of the season for the Knicks. Knicks Pacers, I'll be there, be reporting the game. Super excited for that. It'll be my first ever Knicks beat. But it's another interesting game for the Knicks because you watched the opening night game. They don't look like a good unit. Like, they look, you obviously can see the pieces, but together they don't look super gelled. And this is basically the same Pacers team again. If the Knicks got ran off the court tomorrow, I would not be shocked.
Mm. I think, as a big MMA guy, this is a term we use a lot, fraud checking. And I don't necessarily think being fraud checked is a end-all for the team. I think that it's a wake-up call more than anything. I think this Knicks team is coming into the season with pretty high vibes. You just got Kat. You got Mikal Bridges. You have you had the Villanova guys for a little bit, but then Dante got sent off. But still, I still can't help to think that this team definitely had high vibes going into the season, because on paper, looking at that starting lineup, this team should contend. And I think walking in with that swagger a little bit didn't really help their play, because where I'm trying to get is, I think getting your teeth kicked in the first game is really a wake-up call to, okay, like Chaz said earlier, now we got to win games. Mm-hmm. It was fun for a while, whole power of friendship thing, but now we got to win games and we got to figure this thing out. It may not happen right away. I don't think it'll happen right away, but I think at some point the Knicks will remember who they were. And that was that team last year, that physical team that forced everybody off the court. That was like, I remember when the Nuggets came in here and scored 80 points and everyone was talking about like playing the Knicks is like getting hit with metal bats for 45 minutes. They got to bring that back, and losing Julius Randle and losing Dante DiVincenzo takes a big hit to that, and I think it's about learning the culture, and I think it's establishing that culture and just bringing back the culture from last year. Guys like Josh Hart, Brunson, the guys who were the main parts of that last year, are going to be crucial to just starting that back up.
Yeah, you brought up a good point there. I think they definitely came into this first game with the players had super high expectations, maybe a little too amped up, we're going to be so good this year. Like, we have all the pieces to win a championship. And it's like, you're playing the best team in the league, game one of 82, and you just got your teeth kicked in. It's like a reality check. Like, there's 82 games in a season. You're not going to have, unless you're the Celtics, really, a perfect season where there's no ups and downs. Like, you're going to lose. You're going to have losing streaks. You're going to have long winning streaks. And part of this team and part of building that new culture is they're going to have to find that consistency. I mean, last year, before they went going to the All-Star break, they were like a borderline playing team. Like, there's a lot of games to figure it out, and they have a lot of time to figure it out. It'll be interesting to see how, and also like with Tibbs, this is, I mean, only return, they have Brunson, McBride, Hart, and OG are really the only returning rotation players. I mean, Jericho Sims, kinda.
Right.
But like, this is a full new rotation. They have some new rookies in the lineup. Like, it's going to take the coaches, Tibbs, some time to figure out the rotation he wants to run, what kind of defense he wants to run. So I think it's going to take some time. I do think they'll figure it out. They got a rough schedule to open it up, but for now, I'm not too concerned about the team. I wouldn't be. Maybe if they start off like 0-5, you look them to switch things up, maybe sign some guys. I mean, they're the only team in the league that has 12 players on the roster right now, which is interesting.
The buying in part is what's most important, and maybe it's going to take a couple of these really bad losses for guys like Kat or even Mikal Bridges to really buy into the whole Thibodeau system and trying to figure out this New York team's identity. Last year, and that New York team's identity was they were gritty and they played to the very end. Defensively, they wore everybody down. They have to find their identity this year, especially with this new roster. They have Karl-Anthony Towns. Who are they? What are the Knicks going to play like? If they can get back to that form of being the aggressive team wearing guys down, you're going to need guys like Kat and others to really buy into that system. I never really viewed Kat when he was in Minnesota as that gritty, I'm going to go out there and do anything it takes to win. Because I feel like every now and then, whenever the Timberwolves would have it rough, he would just kind of lie down. That's where Anthony Edwards came in. Anthony Edwards is going to go at everybody. Karl-Anthony Towns, I feel like, was never the guy on that team to really step up and take over and be like, I'm going to be the guy who's going to be the enforcer tonight. And I think that having a Josh Hart, and I even agree with the take, having Josh Hart on the bench to lead that bench unit and just set an example, set a precedent for the rest of the players, being as gritty as he is in the way he plays, it builds a culture. And New York was on the verge of building a lasting culture at the end of last season. That's what got them so far. But you reset. You got these new guys. You bring in Kat. You bring in these guys. You have to bring back either that culture or you got to find some sort of identity that works.
Yeah, despite getting their teeth kicked in on that first game of the season, I'm still super excited for the season. It's going to be a long one. But that is going to do it for us on this week's episode of Pick and Pod. It was a fun one. A couple guys had to leave a little early. but it was still a good one. For Zach Cordova, Chris Carino, Chaz McAdams, I'm Owen Kelty. We had Lauren Mondarulli behind the glass. Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports. Listen wherever you get your podcast.